Hey guys, it's your boy Pat. Welcome back to the next episode of the Hollow Down Cigar Lounge podcast. Got two homies with me this time, Brad over here, and first time joining us, our boy Matt. Welcome to the show. It's going to be a stupid grand old time. I mean, a great grand old time. Could be stupid.
Could be stupid. The odds are high.
The odds are very high. But first of all, a little bit better weather than last time. Starting to get off that heat trend that y'all saw us sweating out on camera a few times. So
still stuck in the garage, though.
We're still stuck in the garage. Chances of rain. Started raining during setup, so just moved off the deck to the porch. From the porch to the garage, so we're going to see what happens. But first things first, because we got a good, decent stick to smoke today. So we are smoking, heard this pronounced two ways, the Joya Red, or probably more accurate, the Hoya Red, since we are from Nicaragua.
Ron Burgundy agrees. It's a soft J. It's like Yogi.
So I'm well aware that you're probably not going to see this, so I'll put that picture up on the screen for you guys.
It should be a Hoya Burgundy.
Should be.
It's perfect.
Instead of a Ron Burgundy.
The label Burgundy. Is perfect.
Hoya Burgundy.
Thank you, Ron. So,
stay classy, Hoya.
It is a very classy label.
It is.
It's very simple. It's very classy. Let y'all borrow the cutter, so.
Oh, my God. You might have to do that.
What?
All right. So,
open. Insert.
It's got a backstop, so it's the first time. Yes.
It's idiot-proof, because it helped me last time.
It is idiot-proof.
That's.
Let me get my hand
over. You got some big old thumbs. So, the,
Hey, easy.
Whoa. So I do like this cutter. This one has technically a double cap, but the secondary cap is a place-over cap. It's not part of the original leaf. So usually when that happens, I'll either punch it or straight cut it so I don't shred it off with the V-cut, as much as I love a V-cut. So got one lighter. We're going to share it today. So it is. This is a Lotus Braun, and I kind of mentioned a couple of shows back when I went up to see.
Does it really have a cigar?
Yes.
Rest?
It does have a cigar rest. Nice. So
it's like it knows what it was built for.
It knows what it was built for.
That's legit.
I love it. So I used a quad torch made by Vertigo. It was an Intimidator. Loved it. And after about 6 years, it died. And I spent a lot of time trying to find this. Still a quad torch, but it has that rest on it. So
that thing smells like straight gasoline. Works 60% of the time, every time? Anyone? I'm working in the quotes today.
I was waiting on Matt to like say something over here while I was lighting it, so.
There we go. Well, first I didn't know if it was struggling to light or not.
So, this is one of my favorite parts of the show, the first time we light it. And that might be my fault because I did a really crappy job of purging it when I refilled it. Common mistake, don't do that. So whenever you refill a lighter, you gotta purge the air out of it before you continue, or it may do what it just did to Brett. That is my fault.
That's right.
Get these lit up and take some puffs and see what we think about these bad boys. It's a good first hit though. And as always, since we are enjoying some bourbon, a little non-branded alcohol at the moment, this is an of-age show. We'll say something similar every time. We do this because we enjoy it. We drink this stuff because we enjoy it. We smoke these cigars because we enjoy it. You will see no links to anything specific down in the description. And make sure you're of proper age in your area to smoke, whatever that may be, legally. However, we're still going to be here so you can enjoy the show. So, let me read you what Cigars International says about the Hoya Red. And then we're going to see if we can mimic any of this. So, strength scale says it's supposed to be a 3 out of 5. More of a medium to full body. Wrapper's a Habano, originated out of Nicaragua for most of the tobaccos. What we care about is the flavors. As I've, you know, I've told these guys off camera a few times, there's plenty of sources you can go for a very detailed review. We don't want to do that. We want to talk about the flavors and if we enjoy it or not. So the flavors that they boast is a medium-bodied bouquet of strong doses, including roasted nuts and pepper, as well as hints of leather toast and coffee.
Leather toast?
Leather toast.
Leather, comma, toast.
Leather, comma, leather, comma toast.
Big difference.
Leather, thanks, comma, so, and
I,
toast.
I love bread toast. I don't think I want to smoke leather toast.
Thanks, I mean, you ever had leather toast?
I haven't. I don't think that'd be too appetizing. But
we'll turn this into a food show and eat leather.
I mean,
or we're just going to stick to regular
right
toast.
Here.
We're inhaling leather toast. We're
inhaling. You can definitely pick up the leather toast.
Yeah.
A little bit of burnt end. Crust. You can feel the crust.
Barbecue.
Sorry, carry on.
Barbecue cigars.
Leather, comma, toast.
Leather, comma, toast. Good shit. But actually, that was pretty much where it ends, and I just ruined it. So.
It's probably me, to be fair.
No, nuts and pepper, primary, with hints of leather. Toast.
Roasted nuts and leather toast?
the roasted nuts.
What and are the people doing down there? Nuts.
And coffee. So,
coffee, good.
A
cornucopia of exotic flavors.
I believe they pronounce their, describe it as a bouquet.
A bouquet of flavors.
It's classier. Oh, cornucopia is pretty damn classy.
It is. But yeah, first hits are pretty good. I'm down for it already. I can taste the mild pepper, which is usually the first flavor anybody can start profiling just because spice is one of the most obvious things. Even if you don't realize what type of spice it is. I got a buddy that's in, actually, a couple guys that are in the group, in the Holodown group, will be able to pull out like what type of pepper it is. Like they'll pull out baking spices and nutmeg. I'm like, dude, I can taste spice.
Can they tell you the Scoville units?
Would not surprise me.
Have y'all seen
about 130,000.
Have y'all seen that Netflix show, that pepper eating competition with that psycho who made the Reaper?
Mm-mm.
There's a documentary on Netflix about the guy who bred the Carolina Reaper.
Like, and hybridized
it? Yeah, and he basically, like, invites, like, 20 or whatever, 15, 20 of the, like, best chili eating people on YouTube and, like, these competitions to his farm where he, like, puts them through a 10-round challenge and make them hate themselves.
I will.
Spoiler alert, look away. The Reaper is only in, I think, round 6. So that mad scientist is doing some fucked up shit over there.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I don't get that level of pepper, bro. I would be dead.
Yeah. Once I hit, like, habanero or, like, serrano, it's not really enjoyable past that point. Really
at that point, you're just measuring your dick.
Yeah.
That's me. Like, I like heat where there's flavor.
I have elephant tongue.
Like, it's 4 inches from the ground.
What? Too much.
Sorry, we should probably cut that.
Probably. We'll see if I do. Who knows? But I do like pepper. But there's a point where the pepper gets into too much heat and I start losing flavor. At that point, I lose interest. It's just not there. If I can feel the burn and there's no flavor associated with it, I'm
a little afterburn is good. I think you know, even if it builds over the course of what you're eating, but
afterburn is good, but not to the point that I don't need fuel to make my truck go down the street.
That's true.
A little much.
I see what you mean there.
What's the one that you brought to my house though?
Oh, Jesus!
I think I like this one better.
That's been a few months. What did I bring over there? Jesus, man. I don't
expect you to remember, but maybe off the one chance that you did, because I like that one too, but I think this one's better.
I don't remember.
But I'm also,
I want to say it was
so
a
far from a connoisseur, I don't know what
that's,
I'm talking
that's
about.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm a culture swine. It's good to have another pig here with me who doesn't know what the hell they're talking about.
I resemble that.
You resemble that remark?
I do.
I don't get pepper.
Different type of pig.
Last time I could definitely taste the sweetness. I don't get pepper. I don't get leather toast either, thankfully.
I do not get leather toast.
I just kind of get general tobacco cigar. So for me, this one, it's fine. I'm just apparently not talented enough to pick up the palate here.
On the first few draws, I could taste the spice. I could taste coffee, which over the last couple years, I've been able to start pulling out coffee a lot more frequently. That one still took a while to pull out. Because there's some like long-term palate building with pulling flavors out. But I'm starting to get like this like micro hint of like toast. Not so much as like a buttery toast that some of the sweet cigars have. It's just like right there. I'm not really getting the leather though. And sometimes I'll get leather if it feels like, if the like smoke feels a little chewy or a little thick. I'm not getting it yet. We'll see if it,
I feel like it smelled like leather before we...
It did smell like leather.
That's in the description at all. Like, why is that a word choice you're putting in your description?
It's pretty common, though.
Can we talk directly to the manufacturers of Hoya?
Hoya!
I don't get it.
Had to.
I don't get it. To me, if you're like, you know what really tastes good?
Well,
a big strip of fucking leather.
That's
where I was going. I was like, how do you know what leather tastes like?
There's another one that me and Woot despise. It's when cigars reference themselves as earthy. And I understand this is a big trend, so no disrespect to anybody that is a cigar manufacturer.
Who loves earth and leather.
This is just a personal standpoint, because I don't expect everybody to be the same. But to me, most of the time, I attribute earth to be just that raw tobacco flavor, but if you get too much of it, it starts tasting a little dirty. And... I apologize if you've heard this multiple times, but me and Wood had a cigar last year that was so earthy, we literally said it tasted like a grape. It was just so just...
You told me about
it. I have lots of questions.
So do we.
Which part?
Hey, I didn't get that.
Like the stone, the ground.
So it was almost like...
I'm going to stop there and not ask the next question.
I'm not sure.
The deeper portion.
The six foot under portion.
Y'all are that cigar must have been really nasty.
It was bad, and I tried my best.
I'm blaspheming on all these people I don't even know anything about. Sorry, random cigar manufacturer. I'm sure you put in a lot of hard work.
I try my best not to blast anything, but also I'm here to give you our honest reviews, our honest thoughts. And we struggled, and there was one point I even tried to be like, you know, it smells good. And he was just like, stop. I tried, man.
Small redeeming qualities.
It looks nice from the outside. It has a great label personality.
But I'm not gonna...
when you're reaching, you know you.
It was established in the 1960s, and that's got to mean something, right?
But we'll carry on because I'm not gonna. I know I have repeatedly not trashed this cigar a few times, but it's just personal speculation. So sorry if it offends anybody if you know what I'm talking about. It's just I'm not a big fan of earthiness, like. If you
have
say
to go
that,
back and watch the episode, right? So I mean, shout
you would
out.
Have to go.
Woot and Pat, there you go.
Episode 7, because I think that it was the New Year's one. Because it'll make sense if you watch it. I'm not going to say the name again, but go back watch episode 7. You'll get it. Still have Johnny Bravo with us.
I feel like
I miss that guy, but our schedules have changed, and that's why you haven't seen him lately. Great dude, helped us start this podcast when we were figuring out how not to do things and then how to do them properly. But our schedules have changed and it's being very difficult to link up. So anyway, he was on that show with Luke. Good one. But I like earthiness if it's more of like referencing like that natural just raw tobacco flavor. Because raw tobacco flavor is good if it's, you know, aged and curated properly.
Well, that one doesn't want
to. So that's good. That means you got good ash.
I'm gonna let it go.
There is a very well-timed pun.
Nice ash.
There it is.
I was picking up what you put down.
Thanks, bro.
I wasn't here the last time that joke was made, but I could just feel it.
Yep.
You know?
So, in cigar world, you'll actually have guys that are like, see how long they can get the ash. And,
I feel like nice. I'm starting to run.
Nice.
So, if you have one... I am a little clumsy because I like to move my cigar in my hand, so I will ash sometimes a little early because if I don't, I will inadvertently ash on myself. But if you're able to have
you
like a good...
You never want to ash on yourself.
You don't want to do that.
Never want to ash on yourself.
It's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing.
So self-ashing is not
it's detrimental to your health and your image. But, you know, if you have a good...
Jesus Christ. About to go there.
You
beat me to it.
I told you you would have fun coming on with him.
It's just me. It's a common misconception.
No comment.
We get confused a lot. That's all I'm saying.
True. But in reality, if you do have like a cigar that's holding good ash, it's really just showing that you've got a good binder. A lot of your like more budget sticks or Fumas or Seconds that are using the fillers from your premium cigars won't always have that because they're trying not to waste money making cigars out of the scraps of your premium ones. Yes, they will sell them for less, close to the flavor, but they don't have as long of filler or binder so the ash won't hold. So if you have one that's able to hold, that means it was constructed well. It is burning even. If you get a hot spot, sometimes you can either have a TP effect, or if the center isn't built right, you can have this tunneling effect. So you got something like that. It also shows good construction of the cigar. So we'll have to give it a good point on construction. And even though I've ashed, it is burning very evenly. So it works for me here too.
I'm starting to burn a little uneven, but not too bad.
Well, a little bit's fine. You know what we mean is you don't want to have it like here and then like the other side like 2 inches up. A little bit's fine because that's just air draw. You could have cut it like a millimeter off center and your air's not perfectly. So as long as it's close, we're good.
It gives a little character.
So yeah, first impressions. I'm loving the cigar. It is medium. It's not overbearing. That spice isn't, you know, some cigars are pepper bombs. This one's not. You taste the spice. Blends well.
Like I said, I don't know much of what I'm talking about, but it tastes pretty balanced to me. You know, it's not like harsh. You know, like I feel like the one that you brought over was a little bit more harsh for me, at least, because I'm new to this.
It's a nice, easy smoke.
Yeah.
Raymond Bueso. That's what it was. It's a Raymond Bueso. I think it was Genesis the Project. I'm pretty sure that's the one. Like 95% sure. I'd have to go back and look at pictures because, you know, I take pictures of God awful almost everything I smoke. But I'm pretty sure that's what it was, which it is a good cigar. It is a bold cigar, but it's like not completely on that like harsh Maduro, but it's kind of starting to cross that edge. So that would make sense. Because I do remember you saying it wasn't like too dark for your palate, but it was darker than you normally would enjoy. So
did I say that? Was that you?
Well,
like very elegant description.
Yeah.
Well, you
that's
said
too
something.
Elegant for me.
I'm a little intimidated right now.
Well, you probably said something
like that.
You probably said something similar, and I just understood what you meant.
Elegante.
It's like a what's that?
That's Spanish for elegant.
You were probably like, man, it's a little fucking dark, but I dig it. Yeah. Something along those lines. Yeah. But I understood what you meant. So, you know,
you just classed it up.
Like churched it up a little bit.
It's like that National Lampoon movie when he gets the leg lamp in. He's like, it's from France. It says Fragile on it.
Fragile. Yeah, exactly. But I'll follow up on this a little bit because I always like to see if we're still enjoying it as it continues to heat up. But so far, so good. First minute 10, we're loving the cigar. We're digging it. So move on a little bit. And as you guys know, we are sponsored by Dissident Cigars. Great family cigars, great owner. Sin and her husband Josh, badass people. So we have this segment called Dissident Disruption now. As long as I don't, you know, whiff on some episode and completely forget to do this, which I'm human. But I say that because I know I'm going to slip up at some point.
It's unacceptable.
It is unacceptable. But
you must be more.
I must be more. But sometimes it'll be dissident related. Sometimes it will just be cigar related. Sometimes it'll be absolutely freaking stupid. And I think I've said before, like, we may not know even what the hell it's going to be sometimes. And that's cool. Have y'all seen these freaking alien corpses?
I have.
Before I get off on this, like... Yeah.
Which ones?
Good question.
Sadly, I feel like there's been, like,
So that's a fair question. So
it used to just be crazy people. Now it's like crazy people with a little bit of notoriety. You know,
yeah.
Crazy. Some government hearings in Congress and stuff makes you really wonder.
Well, there is some government involved.
Although
not really U.S. government
waste their
at this
time
point.
On a lot of bullshit.
They do.
No, they had some guy from NASA at I don't remember if it was a Senate or a House hearing, but a couple months ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he said they were biologics on some of the specimens when they asked about if there were pilots recovered and stuff like that.
I missed that comment of
which
it.
Which is probably a dodging of the question.
So what?
Biologics could mean like,
I mean,
could be like a little space goop or something.
So to preface, if you haven't seen this, because there's obviously a delay in recording this to editing. So mid-September, late September, they came out with some updates to these. And the general details, by all means, go look this stuff up. There was two alien corpses that were discovered down in Peru. Initially, people tried to say that they were recovered on a UFO crash. They discredited that theory, saying that they found them in an algae mine, and that somehow they're only 1,000 years old. I'm not really sure about where they're getting this, but what I do know is somehow a journalist and a self-proclaimed UFO researcher claims to have proven that at least a third of the DNA is not humanoid and not from our terrestrial evolution. That's a badass journalist, I must say.
Hey, yeah.
You get those kind of credits.
We got a DNA scientist, we got a journalist, we got a UFO researcher. Man.
All in the same person.
Yeah.
He must be too qualified.
Too qualified.
He must be like one of those Ken dolls who can be a surgeon and the president and all this kind of stuff at once, right?
Barbie's at it again,
dude. My wife watched that movie.
Is it actually good?
I'll say this: I was at the table in the dining room trying to work, and didn't have any noise canceling headphones on, so I kept hearing stuff. And I got up and ended up standing behind the couch watching probably 75% of the movie. It was not bad.
But if it's enough to catch your attention and pull you over, that
it was very like quippy and snarky, you know. Like there's some segment of the population were like it's too woke,
right?
And then other people who were like, there's actually a lot of veiled jabs at society and stuff like that. And I kind of fell into the latter. I thought it was funny. If you just don't take it too seriously, it's a fucking Barbie movie.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, relax. But no, I mean it was actually. Parts were ridiculous, parts were funny, parts were, I don't know, I think it was pretty good all around. So, they made fun of Mattel, like Will Ferrell was the president of Mattel.
Oh, God.
And he, like, invaded Barbie Land with his agents.
Of course it's Will Ferrell.
Because why not?
You know? Why not?
But, no, it was
like, I started to watch
less
it.
Less terrible than I thought.
But I didn't know if it was just the Barbie fad or if it was actually an okay movie, so.
Yeah.
I might have to watch it now, because.
Well, Ryan Gosling and Margot Robbie and Michael Cera was in there. He hadn't been in anything in like 10 years.
Yeah, where did
he go? He still played a weird dude. I mean, that's kind of the only thing he does, I think.
I mean,
yeah.
He's good at it.
Yeah.
He's good, yeah. Hey, you stick to what you're good at.
He just got a face. Can't change his face. Anyway, so yeah, that's I picture this researcher.
In that world.
And just sort of, that reminds me. Have y'all seen Scrubs? You know, the janitor?
Yes.
Who can do anything. He has a business card printer where he goes, ruggist. And I'm a painter, and
anything,
you know, and a taxidermist. So anything you need, the guy can just do anything. So okay. That's kind of what I.
And it's like low key, like I can hook you up, mopping the floor.
Yes,
it's like just drop.
Have y'all seen Knife Wrench?
Have not.
He duct tapes a knife to a wrench, and it's Knife Wrench for kids. It's a Scrubs shout-out. Shout out Scrubs.
I don't remember that.
Season 9 did not exist. Went the raid on it.
I don't know if you can chime in on that.
I've been yapping too much. Can I get the letters?
Was one of the more accurate medical shows or movies.
Oh yeah,
out there.
Consistently. I watched every episode probably at least 20 times, and the only thing that really pissed me off as being someone in the medical field was the episode where Turk does JD's appendectomy because he cuts on the patient left, which is not where the appendix lives.
Oh.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure the camera just flipped the mirror image and the editors didn't catch it because they never talked about JD having situs inversus or like anything like that, which is where your organs are backwards.
So it's probably an editing.
Have you ever personally encountered that?
I have not done a left-sided appendectomy, no.
Well, I mean, have the...
I have seen several people with it. I've never had to take them to the OR, no. We had someone who had a situs of the chest, so their heart was really on their right side, and everything, like, their aorta was on their right side.
I actually saw... So, I mean, I'm not allowed to see everything, but I saw some basic images of that enough to be like, what?
It's wild.
The hell? Because I've never seen it.
I did do a, I guess we're getting into my personal life a little bit. I did do a, left-sided gallbladder removal when I was in training, which is just weird. It just feels wrong. You're like, you don't even go here. Yeah. But,
it's just weird that... I don't know. It's crazy that, like, you know, the human body can, like, even when it's growing incorrectly, it still manages a way to work most of the time.
It's just backwards. It's fine.
But I remember seeing
it's
that.
It's like when you go in paint, you do the flip horizontal. Yeah, it's just a little backwards.
Oops, sorry, Ed. Like,
did you just scuff my shoe?
I did scuff your shoe. That's a bad. That's a party foul.
You're lucky we're not in Coco Pelly's.
If we weren't on camera right now, he'd whoop your ass.
He'll probably do it when we shut off. I got lucky. It was a dust stain, but
hey, I got these Nike Allen.
Shoot,
two for $100. Not bad, man.
Dude. This is an '87 Honda. How dare you? That's high quality,
dude. You know what's up? I had to go to Arkansas recently and deal with some stuff with the family, and I always go to the Alex in Little Rock because I have a big foot. I have a size 15. Most places either don't have my size or they're sold out because they don't produce as many as they do like the lower size. So I will always go in the outlets, even if I don't need shoes yet. I definitely don't need shoes. I'm a shoe guy, but I still win. And
you got to re-up whenever you can, you know, because probably...
Got them on
sale. Yeah, few and far between.
Like,
and because, yeah, yours probably go on sale a lot because they don't sell a lot of them.
Get this shit out of here. Yeah.
So, you know, but the downside of that is when they do go on the sale, like I usually am a little too late. And I was checking the clearance aisle, no 15. Some Nikes I can squeeze in a 14 if they don't have the thick padding. Because I guess I'm technically like a 14 and a half. But they don't do half sizes.
Round up, right? I'm 5'11 and a half. But
6 foot.
On my license, I say six foot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With shoes.
Always
I'm technically like 5'9 and 3/4. I just say 5'10.
Yeah. That's reasonable.
Yeah.
That's reasonable.
And I'm also like the most common shoe size, a size 10.
There you go. So.
Yeah, I don't have that.
You don't share Pat Struggles.
No. Yeah, but like, my dad was a 17, so he had to special order a lot of his stuff.
That's like actual like, skis. Yeah. They just went skiing every fucking day.
Like, Ross would routinely get shoes that are like 17, 18, 19 because they don't sell anywhere. And I would see them and I would just get to the point that I would text him a color. I'm like, blue shoe? Yes. Like, yeah, I wouldn't even tell him what it was and I would just grab it and... You know, but, and I'll check Ross too, but the, you know, the,
You want to hear a dad joke?
Oh, absolutely.
You know what they say about people with big feet? They need big socks.
They need big socks. Hey,
y'all are fucking disgusting.
Y'all are horrible.
You degenerate.
Get your mind out of the gutter.
Talking about rounding up shoe sizes.
This is our friend here.
Today.
All right. And it's not his fault that it doesn't matter. I'm kidding.
Damn.
You know, I have no evidence to support this.
I don't know if like, y'all can see this, but look at that.
Dude. Wow. Dude, carefully.
Is that a size 15?
This is a size 15, bro.
That's definitely getting cut. Please cut this. I'm sorry.
I can't cut this. Cause I'm sorry. What are friends for if we don't like
just
shit on each other?
Just big, relentless assholes.
I mean...
It's a sign of friendship. You shit on each other.
If y'all ever stop talking...
There's a name for that, too. If you don't want to really get off the rails.
If y'all ever stop talking shit to me, then I will be concerned.
I think it's just... I think that's just what the public calls it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something about steam in a city in Ohio. Just kidding.
Yeah, we...
Cleveland steam.
So what else is going on?
So man. Talk about a disruption segment.
Oh, yeah. Did we actually... Oh, we were talking about aliens.
Yeah, we were talking about aliens.
Way off.
This is why aliens don't come to our
place. We went to Scrubs and Barbie and like weird books.
Or the aliens did come here 1,000 years ago
and they
already saw us and were like,
nah,
unalived.
Unalive
these people, please.
They didn't make it that funny. They took care of themselves.
Better to crash in Peru than to go back and tell people what we saw here.
Facts.
Did they find the craft?
So.
Because if it's just
if too, they did, I didn't see.
If it's just two like mini aliens in a fucking gas bog, I don't really buy that. Because where's the damn ship? They didn't get out and walk through Peru.
The only part that I saw was of the corpses. So if there is any details on any ship or anything else, I did not see that detail.
It's almost like think about the War of the Worlds. You know how eventually they were on Earth for too long that they got bombarded by all of our viruses and biological, you know, bacteria.
So the anti-vaxxers are onto something.
Hey.
Just kidding. I'm gonna stop.
That might get the show canceled versus any other nasty thing we can say.
YouTube is in bed.
I love disease propagation.
You're not
welcome. Please continue in case aliens invade us.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, we had kind of conversation.
Just kidding.
Uncultured swine. I mean, we kind of had the conversation like, you know, why do we always think that if aliens are so, I think you said this earlier, but like aliens are so smart and so advanced, why do they keep crashing on Earth? Like,
if these dudes or women or whatever genders aliens have.
Oh.
Did you ash on yourself?
I ashed on myself.
Dude, look at that thing. That's like a size 15 ash. Man.
Almost.
That's pretty good.
Ash, man.
Dude. Nice ash.
Nice ash.
Oh, y'all are so complimentary.
But if, yes, look, hey, you are strong, you are wise, you are beautiful. Words of affirmation are important to men, too, okay?
They are.
We struggle.
We struggle.
Right? And we hold it inside, and then we lash out. So.
I love you guys.
Hey.
Okay, too much.
When he says it for real, he doesn't cry. It's like
the episode of Family Guy when Peter's sitting in front of the mirror, and Lewis comes up behind him, and he's like, ooh, who's that handsome man? And he looks in the mirror, and he's like, son of a bitch. And he punches the mirror.
Get out of my house.
Being too sensitive.
No, but like, for real, if these aliens, whatever gender they decide to be, or claim for themselves, can travel, I don't know, how many light years? Millions? Billions of light years? Things we can't even comprehend?
Right.
Successfully, they're not going to crash on Earth, which, to our knowledge, is the only place where someone is smart enough to recognize their crash.
That's the thing, though.
Right?
Even if they're a million light years
away. How cocky are we?
And they've harnessed the ability even to travel at light speed. It's still a million years.
But you have the ability to travel at light speed, whether it is a long journey or...
What if
Star Trek was correct?
What if they're folding space time?
Yeah, I was about to say.
But even,
they found warp holes.
What if they're folding space time?
Yeah.
True.
Right.
Which is the black hole effect? You know, if you're able to take, you know, turn it into warp. Yeah. If you're able to manipulate spatial time and wormholes, but somehow they can't land.
I feel like they wouldn't like just crash into like.
I have
what
a hard
mountains
time.
Are in Peru? The Andes. Is that the Andes?
I think that's right.
Now I look like a cultured swine for real. Geography lessons.
Google!
Yeah, no, I think it is.
I think it's Andes.
I think.
Menson Mountains come from Peru.
That sounds right.
The Mens part's probably not right at all, but.
I
think you're right about that.
But so we don't look like
computers. I feel like they'd be able to.
Go with the 80% confidence on that.
If you sound confident enough, you can get by any bullshit, just about.
You
that's
just kind of
how I live.
You have to
my
be
life.
Headstrong about it, though. You can't let up.
I tell everyone,
if it's zero.
Everyone at work, I'm like, if you're going to be wrong, be confidently wrong, right? Because sometimes people just go, sounds legit. And they just keep moving.
If I could type properly,
it's Andes.
A fat thumb.
It's not. It's not like Andes from Toy
not
Story.
Strong.
Andes Mountains. Where they at?
South America. Yep, stretches from Argentina, Bolivia, Chile, Colombia, Ecuador.
Thanks, 10th grade. Hey, Miss Sanders, if you're watching this podcast, appreciate you.
Sorry for.
I don't know why I still remember that because.
Sorry for mine because I don't.
I actually love geology or not geology, geography.
Hey, geologists like rocks too. Yeah. Okay.
I actually enjoyed it then, but I just don't remember it. I can remember acing the class. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I just don't remember it. But you know. That's my fault, not the teacher's fault, so.
Hey. Well, this is a nice stogie. I feel like a freaking Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's like that meme where he's like, I could, because I'm a freaking man, I can smoke my stogie anywhere I want.
I can't do it, but
you
gotta have the draw line.
Yeah.
Have you seen the clip of Arnold talking about the pump?
The pump. The pump.
Look it up.
We have to look
this
up.
There's words I can't say on this, and that's saying something. His description is just concerning.
All right, man, I'm about to call you Johnny Bravo. Get back over here.
Yeah, I was leaning.
He's slowly making a run for it.
I said, you know, Johnny's got a couple episodes, like, he would turn, it would just be me and him, and he would turn sideways and just start, like, leaning back and push out. He'd be out of the frame, and I would just be like...
Look, you want to be natural, you want to be comfortable, right? The man's comfortable.
Well, what was it like? Right? I mean, what was it? Scorpion from Mortal Kombat? Get over here!
Are you going to impale him with, like, a fucking shank on a rope? Or?
It's not a bad idea.
I don't want to be in the trauma day today.
Yes. Take care of it. Not today.
And you're going to make him go to work? You're going to make this man go to work on his off day?
I have had a beverage the kids can't have. I can't work today.
So, y'all all got in the realm of this between everybody that's been on there. We may not tell you our specific detail titles, but you get a gist. You know, pretty much everybody, actually, everybody that's been on the show has been either medical or first responder. Not intended, that's just the people that I'm around. Going back all the way. So, my circle of friends is kind of a dangerous one and probably the safest way possible because we can both hurt you and save you in the same moment.
Mm-hmm. Play your cards right, America.
What was it?
Or whoever's listening.
Not that we intend to do any of that. It's just skill sets.
No, you got to leave them wondering, right? We could. They don't know.
I mean, we could.
They don't know.
One of my friends, he retired as a colonel in the Air Force. And he was in the Marines before, so maybe you can confirm some things that he said. He was in the Marines, and then he went to the Air Force.
You can't straight jump. To clarify, you can't straight jump. There's a few paths, but usually what happens is somebody will get to a point in either their contract, depending if they're enlisted or officer, and instead of re-enlisting at the point where their obligation is ended, that's when you have the option to either re-enlist, get out, or you can... go to a recruiter and transfer, and they will carry as equivalently as possible your rank over. Yeah. Sometimes it may go up or down one or two, but they carry it as best as possible. Right. So you can switch. There are programs for that.
He's also a doctor over there at Willis Arm in internal medicine.
Marine. Airman.
Yeah.
Doctor.
Yeah. Well, he was saying...
Leave some for the rest of us.
He was referring to the PJs in that's like some of the most dangerous people. Because they could not only kill you, but save your life.
Like, that's actually pretty true. The skill set that they need to know for everything that
they
do is...
they can escape, too.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Get in undetected, do the things you don't want to know about, and get out undetected.
While carrying a fallen soldier at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And saving their life.
Just a badass motherfucker, dude.
Sorry for partying, bro.
It's like, I mean... You know, I've got some friends in... You know, Luke's one of them, like, and I'll never tell his stories for him, but some of the stuff, he said a couple of things on air, but a couple of things that he's talked about, like, bruh, I mean, some things that these people train to do in some of these, I'm going to leave it at that, because I'm not going to speak for him.
It takes a different type of person to do all that stuff. In a different life, maybe. Yeah.
And,
my wife has feelings on me risking my life. It's like she wants me around, I don't get it, but...
Right?
She wants you to have self-preservation. Yeah. I had thoughts of, you know, military surgeon and stuff like that. And, you know.
I'll tell you what, for trauma, the best experience in your life.
That's
probably.
A lot of advancements came from that, man, because you've got to do a lot with a little. You know, we learn a lot from that stuff.
You know, it's a crappy metaphor, but I was a flatline mechanic. Never got to deploy because of an injury. So everything that I had to learn about deployments was, you know, guys came back, I'd do some of the workups, and then I would get stuck to non-deployable. Just had a martial arts injury that just kind of detrimented my career really early. But we had...
Too much kung fu.
Too much kung fu.
Too much kung fu. You never do full kung fu.
That's right.
Never do full kung fu.
You just go kung fu.
But I just landed wrong, and... surgery went great, and I had a rip in therapy, and that's all I'll say on the camera. But anyway, that's a sidebar. But on the flight line, we had toolboxes like predetermined for like specific types of jobs because you know you don't want to risk losing stuff on an airfield. It will shut the entire hangar down. Like if you're missing a socket, That bird goes nowhere until you find it. We have ripped apart aircraft because you dropped something in an engine bay or something. So
everybody hates you.
That's where, you know, ATAP comes from, and I still do it with my mechanics, is all tolls accounted for. And if I lose something, I freak out trying to find it. So, but we weren't allowed to have standard hammers because they're afraid of the weight. Like, if we dropped it, it damaging something. So, like, if we needed an actual hammer, we had to go to the tool room, check out that one hammer, go use it, come back. Well, there's a lot of times you're in the field or the crew chief's flying the bird. You can't go to the tool room and check out a hammer. So, every toolbox had a 1-inch wrench in it. So,
only a 1-inch wrench?
Well, it was kind of hard to justify getting bigger when the tool set was, you know, a hydraulic pump, you know, this big. So, but there's a lot of times that they would use that in the air and, you know, make shit work. Because, like, you know, I had
is this like an Armageddon when the Russian cosmonaut just starts banging on the machine?
Actually,
he's like, you know, in Russia, we want to go home! Actually, starts hanging it, slamming it, and then it fires up, and he's like, thank you!
Actually, yes.
Yeah.
There's some humor to that, but it's
in
also...
Russian cool. Space station!
Like, I don't know how many times, like, the hydraulic so pump on the back...
Do they also ramp the aircraft over a cliff on the asteroid so they can get the drill and get it back to Bruce Willis?
You're acting like he has this kind of clearance.
That's probably a need-to-know thing. He's not
I can't tell you that while the camera's off.
He can neither confirm or deny the fact that Bruce Willis has gone to outer space.
He hasn't really told us that he has that clearance, and he's just...
That's true.
He's just all I know is that
Bruce Willis has never missed a mark, and he will make 800 feet. That's all I know.
Will not miss
a mark. And Ben Affleck will cry. Sad movie.
Great movie, though. Yeah. But sad.
We miss you, Harry.
Damn. Maybe this is where that alien came from. It's coming back, like that asteroid circled back.
You know,
and you know, Bruce Willis didn't find that alien. He would have saved him.
That's true. That's
true. He came back
with his oil drill.
With his oil drill.
And Ben Affleck and Michael Clark Duncan.
Hey,
R.I.P. Bear. We miss you too.
So, one thing you can guarantee about America: if they find oil, they're gonna go.
We will drill in space. God damn it!
Maybe that's why they were trying to detonate the bomb before they got into it.
Hmm. It's true.
Historical findings.
Stay woke. Yeah.
So yeah.
Stay using them brain cells.
Harry Stamper.
Harry Stamper.
Good man. Good man.
See, this is, now that you've been on the show, this is what happens. We just go off in the deep end somewhere.
Yeah.
And you never know what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
Like the last
we don't go so far off the deep end, we end up like that submarine.
That's true.
We won't go that far.
Oh, wow.
We won't go that far.
Hey,
you can't completely, implode on yourself.
Is it too soon?
Can't go full.
Where's the Xbox controller for this podcast?
I thought it was PlayStation.
Was it?
Oh, yeah. We need
game console.
No, it was neither. It was just a, like, Amazon store.
Like a Sega Dreamcast.
Yeah.
Fucking Dreamcast.
That's why it didn't work. They forgot to put the insect card on the controller.
They should have tried blowing on it.
Amateurs.
If you don't know what the hell I just referenced, please go figure it out.
Yeah.
You're too late young. To the party. You're too young.
You're too young.
You're either too young or very late to the
party.
If
you can drink beer, you probably know that reference.
Should.
Maybe not, actually.
Maybe not, actually, because it's starting to get to that point. That maybe.
Jeez. You know, 21-year-olds now didn't
I was
even,
about to ask that thing.
They weren't even alive for 9/11.
Yeah. I will leave the wrapper on as long as I can, just in case you get like a heat crack. It'll help hold it together, which is not the case with this cigar. This is holding up pretty damn well.
It actually is.
This cigar is pretty dang
good.
It's construction.
Man, I need to get some more of these. This is a really...
It's just solid.
It is. That is the perfect word. You know, it is just a solid cigar.
It may not wow you, but it's not going to disappoint you. You know?
So I think you've got like a minor heat crack. I have nothing. I don't know if you have.
I had a little peeling by the cap.
A little uneven, but not too bad.
I had a little peeling by the cap. But not
I mean, you're never going to have a completely perfect cigar. They are a handmade, man-made product, but this is good, man.
You know, if the aliens had made this cigar,
hey,
the maybe
100 pristine.
Yeah,
100
perfecto.
We need to find the craft.
Yeah,
and get the alien cigars off the craft.
Ooh,
that's what I'm saying.
We want to talk about aging.
Yeah.
Maybe not well, though.
Maybe not well.
I don't know how well. You know, well, they're trying to figure that out. They're starting to grow.
Well, if they found them in an algae mine, there's definitely humidity.
That's true.
Maybe that's too true. Much, but you know what?
There may also be like mold and fungus.
Wouldn't you think if they were in that spacecraft for that long, they would have to have some kind of artificial, you know, environment.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, atmosphere.
I'm sure the emergency power is on in the spacecraft. Yeah. I mean, these guys are smart. They're not. They're not freaking newbies.
They made it. They made it all the way.
I mean, if you think about it, you know, and I reference Star Trek. There's a lot of things that they did back then that actually they've been able to either prove or duplicate or whatever. But if in our minds, back then when we were like early scientific testing stuff, and they were able to talk about, and to talk about, you have to have at least enough of a basis to like build a theory off of, right? So talk about nuclear power to the point like it was a self-sustaining ship, and that was in our like baby stages of scientific discovery. If they like the real, like they,
are you saying the Star Trek creator was on it?
Very possible. But all jokes aside, how many things came from Star Trek in like the 60s and 70s that are now actually in existence?
Yeah.
And they were theories then, but he or his writers or his producers or whoever he had on his team, like, they were onto some stuff.
Yeah.
He was getting...
You know what we don't have yet, that I really wish we did?
Paper
was
pushing
the freaking...
theories from...
Beam me down, Scotty.
Transporter. Yes.
To not have to drive on the interstate.
You know that they've actually already
they've already
used somewhat teleportation technology, not with any kind of biological matter, but with information, like packets of information, where there's a satellite up in space and they literally instantly teleported like information, packets of information.
It's a start.
Like a physical
like
piece of things?
No. Next thing you know, we're turning into Fantastic
Like
Four.
This information. Like, it's...
Dibs on Doom. That dude wins in the end. I don't know. He way out kicks his coverage. Waiting for that movie.
So, a lot of theories,
bring back
but...
Krasinski. They won't, but it's sad.
You know, most, and I'm personally not smart enough to know this for sure, but, you know, there's a whole lot of movies and theories and scripts that usually come from some micro basis of fact that gets expanded on. Maybe there's more of the puzzle we don't know yet, and this is all true. It is possible.
Maybe we're just thinking we're speaking out our ass, but it's all already there.
We're right
it's
on
point. If you're a smart ass right enough, point. Right? If you're Nostradamus and you make 60 million predictions, you're going to get like 6 right.
Right. I mean,
you gotta get a few right.
Gotta get something right. I mean, we can't be that far off base, you know?
Yeah.
Gotta be on point with something.
So, if you could have any movie plot come to life, what would it be? Since we're talking about that.
Ooh.
Star Wars.
Okay.
I mean,
like, do you want to be someone?
Not necessarily.
You just want, like, intergalactic laser
sword
fights.
Just crazy crap.
Yeah.
Just crazy shit.
All right, we're talking, like...
Because you're running to the...
I really want a lightsaber. Okay. I really just want a lightsaber.
A real one.
So now I'm going to really probably test your loyalty here.
Uh-oh.
I know people feel about which series was better movies, but you can't argue which series had better lightsaber fights.
This is true.
So would you want to be a duelist from the first three? Like the original, 4, 5, 6?
The second.
Or the prequel?
Oh,
so yeah, you want the skills of the prequel.
To clarify for the people moving, are we talking about...
Yes. If yes.
We're not talking about when they're produced, but like the number of the actual show, right?
Correct.
Okay.
And so I would want to... And in fashion of Samuel L. Jackson, I would want to be able to claim and request my own special lightsaber.
Purple.
Yeah.
Like, That's how you know that you have, like, hit
that's,
a par
that's
on...
That's how you know you have big cojones.
You're able to go and be like...
The film industry.
He's like,
when
don't
you
pay me.
Yeah.
Just give me a purple laser sword.
You've got decades of historical tradition. Fuck that.
He didn't even get to say motherfucker in that movie either. That's a tragedy. And then they threw that man off a...
No motherfuckers, no snakes on a plane, no nothing.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, sorry. You haven't watched it by now.
To be fair, that was that was later. That was after that.
That was 3. Yeah.
Those were after those movies when he did that movie. So he wasn't all full F-bombs yet.
That was pre-Jenga?
That was pre-Jenga.
But you know what's crazy about Star Wars is...
That was actually
early
into his movie career.
You know why? You probably do. You know why Lucas did the movies out of order? It's the simplest thing.
I never understood why they did that.
So, he thought that Darth Vader would not hit with an audience as such a demolishing villain that he thought that the show would flop if he started with the introduction, because
you want to build he would want to build up good characters and like
right.
It's really easier to have a mysterious villain than to like have a good guy turn into.
And so now you end up with, you know what, 20 or 30 whatever, 25-ish years of mysterious of where he came from before we went back and actually filmed it.
I think episode one was in like 2001. And the other one, the originals, were in the early mid-80s.
It was early, young
when it came out. They were in the mid-80s. I think 86.
I can't remember if it was 70s or 80s when it
the first The first Star Wars came out the early 70s.
Yeah.
Or like the 69. It was like 69 or early 70s. Like,
is that long ago?
Yeah.
I thought Empire Strikes Back was like 85.
I think it was like but you got to think back then. But the gap between the movies was so much larger.
Yeah, because they it took them a
because
lot
it took
longer
forever
to
make
all
those
of that.
Movies. Yeah. They weren't just pumping them out back to back like they are now.
Oh, 1980.
80 was
Empire Strikes Back.
The first one was.
Empire Strikes Back was 80?
Empire Strikes Back was 80.
That means the first. That means episode 4, New Hope, was in 70-something.
New Hope. 77.
That was the first one.
And then Revenge of the...
Episode 4, New Hope, was 77.
I got that about a day.
I mean, I was just guessing. I just knew it was somewhere...
I thought it was like early 70s.
Yeah.
So... But yeah, so this is what happens when you have a disruption talking about aliens. We went everywhere.
I'm sure the audience will enjoy it.
Yeah, it's always good shows.
You got a different answer to the question? Bring a movie to life?
No, I mean, I was unfortunately thinking like, it's so hard to disprove that though.
Yeah.
Like, I know it's cliche, but bruh.
Somewhere out there.
Right
Mark,
now,
Mark
technically.
Hamill, Mark Hamill's technically, out there talking to a little green person.
The problem is it's any badass character in any badass movie. You know, if you're talking Star Wars, Star Trek, Marvel, everybody like ends up with some like devastating death too. So like it's hard to say that I want that guy. I'm gonna be badass. I'm gonna have a young, brutal death.
It's been more of like a
revenge of the
Sith. Like a futuristic shit that we think is unrealistic that might actually be real. That'd be kind of cool.
Well, would be cool. To be honest, we definitely have the technology to somewhat make a lightsaber. The problem is to control the plasma in an artificial like. In gravity bubble, how it like just stops in the form of a
right
saber.
To that point.
Yeah.
And even if we succeed in that technology, the aliens are onto something because you can't trust humans.
We suck. Like, I really resisted the urge to be like, shut up, nerd.
So, moral of the
mainly
story.
Mainly because I liked it.
Moral of the story is humans suck.
We do. There's ample evidence.
But since we suck so bad, unfortunately, we got to end the show because we're also at that point,
damn.
Too.
I was going
to
dive into like bringing Maximus Decimus Meridius to life.
Ooh.
Russell Crowe.
Still my favorite movie.
Come back up. Commander of the Armies of the North. Loyal servant of the true Emperor Marcus Aurelius.
That might remain
just
in
going
this life.
Off.
I messed up. I forgot General of the Felix Legions. But he was also a father to a murdered son, a husband to a murdered wife, and he will have his vengeance in this life or the next. Obviously.
So, still my favorite movie.
Yeah.
The first R-rated movie I was ever able to see with permission.
You know what mine was? It was another great movie.
Yeah.
It was In Your Realm with Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
I watched that. It's the first R movie my dad let me watch with him at home. He put that thing on. I mean, and it started off so gruesome. One of the first scenes is that guy holding his guts, like crying for his mom. And I was just like sitting there like,
I'm going to throw a very brief wrench in here because I know we have to wrap up. The first rated R movie I watched in the living room with my parents was Me, Myself, and Irene.
Interesting.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
There's a scene where he gets a lump down the inside of his pants that grows while he's in the car. And mom's like, shut it off! Turn it off!
So
good times.
We need an episode on movies. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. All right.
But on that note, because we will start a whole new episode all over.
Talking about pants bulges.
Size 15s. So
size 15s.
Anyway. So, again, thank you guys for hanging out with us and all the stupidity that we bring to the Hollow Down Cigar Lounge. Cigar talk show first. So we love the cigar. Great remarks from all three of us, I believe, on the Hoya Red. Again, thanks for Dissident for sponsoring this episode, as always. Your ash is just fantastic.
Yeah, you have a great ash.
I have a great ash.
Great ash. It's very plump.
Very plump.
One could even say it was round.
It was round.
round.
Solid?
Yes. Off-end round and solid. Yes. I mean, it's a very...
Your ass took a hard slap there.
It's a brick house.
It didn't even go anywhere.
Yeah.
I'll leave the rest of my remarks in my head for the moment. But thank you guys for hanging out. As always, enjoy the time with y'all hanging out with us. Look forward to you coming back next time. Thanks for Matt, Brett, for hanging out with us. And until good next time, stay safe and hollow down.
And go fuck yourself, San Diego. Since we started with Anchorman. Please cut that out.
You know how I am without
takes. I waited until the closer was out. That way I didn't actually mess it up.
You know how I am without takes. Oh, yeah, you don't know yet.
Spanish for a whale's vagina. I don't think it actually just means Saint Diego.